Well, this is entitled 2 Kings, chapter 6, 1 to 7, Mystery of the Floating Axe. We're in the Iron Age, it's 850 BC, and an axe head comes flying off. Elisha has around him a group of people called the Company of the Prophet, and they are expanding in number and need a new headquarters. Probably help me if I put my glasses on. They ask Elisha to come with them, and as they cut down some beams for their new buildings, suddenly, ping, they lose an axe head. The bloke panics, says he's borrowed the axe. He can't just pop down a B&Q or Wix to pick up a new one. An axe head will take days to make and will cost a few months' salary. So this is a big deal. Elisha throws in a stick and up the axe head comes. The man probably uses shims to fix the axe head back on the stick and takes a bit more care. And that is our passage tonight in a nutshell. We've been looking through 2 Kings for 7 weeks now, and each week we are seeking to learn lessons for ourselves about the living God and how we can live our lives by what we read here. This week's talk is labelled The Mystery of the Floating Axe, and the mystery is, what on earth has this little story got to do with you and me? Why is it there? Why is this, oops, I've lost my axe head story in the Bible? Well, we've got to remember that Jesus regarded the Bible as nothing short of the word of God, words from God to us. And it is an enormous privilege for any literature to be in the Bible. So why is this story there, and what is it going to teach us tonight? Now, at this point, it's easy to head off on false trails. Very easy. For instance, you might say that this is a moral story. Be careful with other people's stuff, or don't borrow stuff. There's all sorts of ways you can go with that. Proverbs chapter 22 says the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Isn't that true in today's modern life? So I could angle into the moral direction tonight, but that would be wrong. Or I could say, well, this passage has a hidden meaning. It's an allegory. We could try and be creative and say the axe head is a person's soul and the river is God's judgment. And the stick is, of course, God's rescue plan through the cross that saves the man's soul from God's judgment. Pretty good? I think so. But no, this has nothing to do with why the writer has put this passage in the Bible. And we need to be careful not to allegorize things in the Bible, because the problem with allegories is that they seldom work. It's like me going to Tesco with my wife Kate's shopping list and allegorizing what she's put on her list. So, for example, she might put noodles, and I think, well, using your noodle is linked to thinking and using your head, so I throw a head of lettuce in my basket. And then she has marshmallows, and I allegorize that marshmallows are soft and put toilet paper in my basket. So see, the problem with allegorizing is that it seldom works, and I'll be in a lot of trouble when I get home with the shopping. The axe head is not a soul, the river is simply the Jordan, and the stick is a piece of wood. So what's the real answer? Well, there's a great skeleton key we can use to unlock the message in these books. Quite simply, through all these books of the Bible, God is the hero, and he's clearly involved in this story tonight. Only the creator of the laws of physics can change the laws of physics in this situation. You see, water has a density of 1 gram per centimeter cubed, and iron has a density of 7.874 grams per centimeter cubed. So iron is almost 8 times denser than water and will always sink. If you want to argue about iron boats floating, please talk to me later. I'm not going to go through iron boats. We can assume that the river is fast flowing and deep, so they can't just wade in and get the axe head. For all intents and purposes, it's lost. Like dropping your mobile phone in the Thames while standing on London Bridge, you are not going to see it again. So God is clearly involved in this passage. So what does this passage tell us about the true and living God? Well, firstly, my first point is that God cares about the little details of people's lives. He's a God that cares about the little details of people's lives. He is the God who cares for each and every one of us as individuals. we can forget that the creator of the whole universe, who rules the cosmos and saved all mankind, cares for each of us individually and loves to be involved in every little detail of our lives. It said back in verse 5, but as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." This is about an individual need tonight. We might lose our keys, our wallet, or our phone, or need to be somewhere in a hurry, or we have a meeting we're concerned about. Do we think that God doesn't care about us as an individual? Won't move heaven and earth to help us? Of course he will, and our prayers are part of our loving relationship with God to involve him in the detail of our lives. As we look through the book of 2 Kings, we see God working on the large scale problems such as lost armies and Naaman with his huge political ramifications if he's not cured of leprosy. And as we find out next week, we get military engagements with Syria and the Aramean siege of Samaria. So there are scenes of international politics, foreign affairs, military strategies, and national crisis for God to be involved with. But also, in the middle of this, we get God sorting out a little lost axe head. A couple of weeks ago, we suddenly get a widow in a financial crisis, and God gives her an abundance of oil to solve her needs. Why do we get these little stories thrown in the middle of all this? Because the living God cares for each of us and the little details of our lives. The King of all, creator of the universe, cares for me and my little axe head. Isn't that amazing? Again and again and again, we read this in the Bible. He is interested in us enough to answer our prayers and is concerned for us as individuals. Sometimes his answer can be wait, but other times it's yes. Maybe tonight you can look back and write a list of how many times God has answered your little prayers. Think about what you've asked for, even the little pop prayers, like, you know, please help me find my phone, Lord. And there it is. But some of the big things he's helped you personally with as well. And once you've written that list, give thanks that we can trust him in our lives and all the little details that matter to us. And all these little details that matter to us matter to God too. Part of God's greatness appears in the fact that he does attend to the small problems, the dinky details, the individual needs, the mundane and ordinary affairs of believers' lives. Remember, even the hairs on your head are numbered. Luke chapter 12 reminds us, are not five sparrows sowed for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten by God. Why, even the hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. And obviously, you can count the hairs on some people's heads a little bit easier than others here tonight. But God cares for our little details. And there's a story about the Prime Minister, William Gladstone, and a rather unnoticeable man, a street cleaner who used to sweep the streets around the Parliament buildings. He was familiar to many of those who used the buildings, but one day he went missing. A Christian worker inquired after the street cleaner and eventually found him in a little attic room furnished with only the barest necessities. The Christian worker asked the man if he ever got lonely, if anyone had ever visited him. Oh, yes, he said. He recently had a visitor. Mr. Gladstone visited me. The missionary was amazed and inquired if he meant Mr. Gladstone, the Prime Minister. Oh, yes, Mr. Gladstone, the Prime Minister, visited me. He sat right there on that stool and he read the Bible to me. So here is William Gladstone, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, who probably had a dozen more pressing matters to attend to that day, sitting in an attic with an ailing street cleaner and sharing God's word. Of course, this is only a weak analogy of the constant and intense attention of our Father to what seems like our tiny and insignificant needs. But remembering how God cares for us, shouldn't we also care for the lowest in our society or even where we work? So my first point, God cares about the little details of people's lives. And we see this in the fact he cared about the axe head. Now let's pan out to the bigger scale now, because there is a second truth that we can see more clearly in this passage. And my second point is, God preserves his faithful people, even if it doesn't look likely. God preserves his faithful people, even if it doesn't seem or doesn't look likely. The issue at this point in the book of Kings is that the very survival of the people of God is in doubt. The Lord and God of the Bible has chosen the people of Israel to be specifically his people, one nation to show the world. How good it is when you have the God of the Bible as your God. But sadly, what we see in this book of 2 Kings is that the nation has not only split into two, but it's gone effectively pagan. Most people have given up on the true and living God and chased after many idols. Not only that, but we discovered their physical existence is threatened on every side by enemies from the different nations surrounding them. And the big question is there going to be anyone left who can really claim to know and serve the living God? Or will they simply have turned their backs on God and become pagan? And what's remarkable about this section of 2 Kings, where we're looking at the life of this prophet Elisha, is that again and again we see that God is preserving a faithful remnant of his people who are still true to him. And we see this many times in the Old Testament. There's Elisha and his company of the prophets. The people are building this particular headquarters for themselves because they are expanding despite opposition. And God is preserving them and his faithful witnesses in the country. The king has gone completely off the boil. The priests have probably wandered away and from the Lord. And everywhere you go around the land, there are statues to the various different gods going up in different kinds of pagan shrines. But here are some people building the headquarters of the company of the prophets. It's a kind of unlikely little place away from Jerusalem, but God is preserving a faithful people to speak his word to the people in the years ahead. And it's one of these faithful people that God is preserving, whose axe head comes flying off and disappears into the water. In a sense, it's just a small thing, but to that person, it was a big thing. And if he lost this piece of borrowed property, he probably had to take lots of time to sort out paying it all back and so on. God is preserving him. And God is doing it in quite an unlikely way by making this axe head float. But again and again in these books of the Bible, we find that God is preserving his people in rather unlikely ways. God is making sure that this man is preserved to go on speaking God's word. God preserves his faithful people, even though it doesn't look very likely. Now let's fast forward to our times. If you're a Christian today, you're part of God's people by his sheer unmerited mercy and grace. Though we're not gathered around Elisha as these people were, we are gathered around Jesus. And he's called you so that you will speak his word in the world. And the same God is committed to preserving us as his faithful people. And that ought to encourage and excite us here tonight. It ought to interest us because as Christians today, we find ourselves under a certain amount of pressure. And there are plenty of people who reckon that Christianity will be extinct soon, and the churches will be swept away by contemporary thinking. Who knows? Maybe we will, maybe we won't face increasing amounts of persecution and opposition over the years ahead as Christians. Certainly we have problems with paganism creeping into the churches themselves. And we wonder in our gloomier moments, what hope is there for us that there will still be a church that is speaking for Christ in 10, 50 or 100 years' time? And what about you and me? I know that I am weak and feeble. How am I going to keep going as a Christian? And the answer this passage gives us, as part of the context of what God is doing here, is that he is committed to preserving his faithful people. He is committed to preserving his faithful people. And that's wonderfully good news for us all tonight. If we hang on in there with him, gather around the Lord Jesus, he will preserve us. It's a bit like, do you remember those little toys called Weebles? Little egg-shaped people that wobbled but couldn't fall over because they had weighted bases. I think the advert said something like, Weebles wobble, but they won't fall down. Well, Christians are like Weebles. As a Christian, we can have times where we wobble in our faith. But God is determined to preserve us through the Holy Spirit being on our lives. And it's the Holy Spirit that stops us falling down. God knows that we are by nature fickle and unbelieving and cowardly, and so we require the constant help of God's Holy Spirit to keep us going. As Christians, we will not survive without the help of the Holy Spirit, and left to our own devices, we, like the axe head, will sink. But with God's Holy Spirit at work in us, he will preserve us. The very fact that we are here tonight as a church, the very fact that as a Christian, we've kept going this long, is not because we've been brave and strong and tough. It's because God has been at work in you, contrary to the downward pull of human nature, by his Holy Spirit. God has been sustaining you, little you, through his Holy Spirit. It sounds a bit like an axe head floating, doesn't it? And this should be of great encouragement to us all tonight. The God who can make an axe head float is the same God who called you to follow him. And he is committed to preserving you, even though it may seem unlikely. He's committed to preserving his people and is committed to preserving his church until the end of times. As we stay faithful to him, he is doing no less of a miracle than making an axe head float. So when we look around us at the world that is increasingly turning its back on God and putting pressure on Christians to conform to society's needs and wants, we may ask ourselves, how can we ever keep going? Well, this passage is a reminder that we can cry out to him, even when things are tough and seem to be going wrong, just like the man who lost his axe head did. Cry out to the Lord and Saviour who is committed to preserving his people. You can trust him and love him and hold on to him and take your problems to him and keep going, because you know he can do this. Thank you for listening, and let us pray just to end off. Our gracious God, we thank you for all that you have done for us in Christ. We thank you for your care of us as individuals. We pray that you will help us to trust you with the details of our lives, because you care for us as individuals. And we also ask that you will ask you to help us to trust you, that you will go on caring for your faithful people through everything, even in unlikely ways. We pray that you will help us to keep trusting you, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.